This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Happy Monday. There is so much going on. Larry Richard with Anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and we welcome the president and CEO of the Heinz History Center, the one and only Andy Masick, who is also visible on the radio with our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Andy, great to see you this morning. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. Of course, that's Spanish for 5th of May. And that was a big day in Mexican history because it commemorates the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862. And think about that for a minute, Larry. In 1862, the spring of 1862, the United States was embroiled in its own civil war. The Battle of Shiloh had just been fought, one of the largest battles ever on this continent. But just south of the border, the French had invaded Mexico during the American Civil War. The French figured, you know, the Americans can't do anything about it if we invade the Americas and we take back maybe what we lost with the Louisiana Purchase when Napoleon sold out in 1803. And so they sent an army to Mexico, and that army marched on Mexico City, the capital. But they were confronted in the mountain passes at the town of Puebla. And Mexican militiamen and farmers came out with pitchforks and muskets, and they defeated the French army. The French army was arguably the best army in the world at that time. It was a David and Goliath story, and it electrified the world. People said, what? The Mexicans defeated Napoleon III's French army? Impossible. But it was a great victory, and Benito Juarez, the president of Mexico, declared it to be a national holiday and a day of celebration.
Andy, I'm curious to know, this thing about the French army going back into Mexico after the loss of the, in what had to be one of the greatest land deals ever in the Louisiana Purchase, is it your understanding that they might have been using Mexico as a base to return to the United States and do something here?
That's absolutely right. The French wanted a presence in the Americas. And it was Napoleon Bonaparte, the famous Napoleon, who was fighting the British and said, boy, I need money to fight the British. And if I sold our holdings in the Americas, that would fund my military dreams. And yet Napoleon sold out the Louisiana Purchase, $10 million, and then he had his Waterloo. Literally, he had his Waterloo. He was defeated in 1815, and the French lost any holdings in the Americas. But his nephew, Napoleon III, Louis Napoleon, they called him, he had dreams of an American empire. And so he saw his opportunity when the Americans were fighting themselves in the Civil War. And so he sent that army to Mexico. Benito Juarez was the president of Mexico. This is an interesting tidbit. He was a great fan of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln loved Benito Juarez. They were simpatico. Benito Juarez was 4 feet 6 inches tall. he was a full-blood Indian. And Lincoln was 6'4" tall. Think about the disparity in height. And yet they were of a mind. And so Lincoln would send money and weapons and uniforms and food across the Rio Grande to Benito Juarez as he fought the French. And Lincoln couldn't get involved in this conflict, this international conflict, because he was afraid the French could come in on the side of the Confederacy. And so it had to be under the table, secret supplies going across the Rio Grande. But that's what Cinco de Mayo affected American history, too. And maybe that's the reason that Cinco de Mayo was celebrated along the border and in North America, even after many Mexicans forgot about the importance of that day.
It's a good excuse to eat some great Mexican food for many Americans who don't know the history. They think it's a Mexican Independence Day. And obviously, as you explained, it is not. That said, do you have a few more minutes, Andy? I want to ask you about this new exhibit, Pittsburgh's Hidden Mysteries, and fascinated about it.
People ask us, what's in the History Center's collection? Where, all the stuff that you have stored away, can we see it? Well, our curator said, sure. And they pulled out all the great stuff that is not usually on exhibit. And it's called Pittsburgh's Hidden History. All those quirky objects and stories that have been hidden away for 150 years because the History Center started in 1879. And so things like the Biddle Brothers sleigh. I don't know if you remember this, Larry. This was a little bit before your time. But in 1901, the warden's wife at the Allegheny County Jail helped two desperados break out. They were murderers, and they convinced her that they were innocent. She smuggled guns and saws beneath her dresses, the skirts of her dress, and they escaped, sneaking past her own husband's bed chambers where their four children were. She was the warden's wife. And they got onto a trolley. They headed to Westview. They stole a sleigh. They made a slow speed chase to Butler, where the sheriff's posse was waiting for them. There was a shootout, bullets zinging everywhere through this sleigh. The Biddle brothers were killed. Mrs. Soffel, who was a little bit older than Ed Biddle, the good-looking one that she had fallen in love with, she said, Ed, shoot me. I can't go on without you. He took his revolver and put it to her chest, pulled the trigger. And, well, she was a large busted woman, and the bullet did not penetrate her chest. Oh, and wow. She survived. Had to be incarcerated in the very jail where her husband was the warden. And, well, she didn't do well after that. There was a divorce. She died on the north side on Maiden Lane about 8 years later. But that sleigh is in the exhibit with its bullet holes in it. It's just one of the quirky objects in Pittsburgh's hidden history.
And that captured in the movie Mrs. Soffel with Mel Gibson as the star.
Mel Gibson and Diane Keaton played Mrs. Soffel. I think if it wasn't Mel's breakout movie, I think he was maybe 21 years old when he starred in this. And it's a pretty good movie. Some of it filmed right here in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's Hidden History at the Heinz History Center. And we'll have you back to talk about, you announced an expansion, which is exciting. The Strip District is the hottest neighborhood in the city right now, and it's going to get even hotter.
Stay tuned, Larry. I'd love to tell you more about that. In June, we're going to make a big announcement, and I think Pittsburghers are going to be proud.
All right, exciting. Andy, thank you. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
Andy Masick, President and CEO of the Heinz History Center. Paul, I love our conversations with Andy.
Well, I learned all kinds of new things here.
You know what I love about conversation with him? His passion, you can see and hear. But also, it's like if you had this great professor at school
Yeah.
And you just had a chance to have a coffee with him about, and he just tells you something. You're like, this is so cool. So visit the Heinz History Center. Lots to see.
I had no idea that the French were looking to come back and reclaim what they sold cheap.
Yeah, they thought they got ripped off. Listen for The Drive at 5. These are the top stories driving the news every weekday afternoon with Colin Dunlap, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Marty Griffin is going to be at Oakmont Bakery today, 10 until 2, where the Sorayo families, the owners, are going to help salute our first responders, Paul, which I think is a great gesture. Sometimes we have a tendency to take them for granted, and in times of crisis, when they're called into action, and it's been a long week for a lot of them.
Absolutely it has. So especially with the marathon to cap it all off yesterday.
Right. I mean...
Between the public safety issues, you know, trying to keep people safe during the response to the storm and all the dangers that were in the streets, right?
The fallen trees, and there are still, I noticed even driving in this morning in the fog, some of the trees, whoever cut them off so that, you know, the lane was clear. Mm. But if you veered off the lane at any point, you could hit this, you know, tree that's sticking out. So they, I mean, there's a lot more work to do. And then I talked to some people who were trying to get tree guys or gals.
And speaking of that, I'm pulling into a parking lot at Lowe's on 228 in Cranberry after work on Friday. And in the parking lot in an empty spot were an untold number of Asplen trucks with the wood chippers on the back. It had to be more than a dozen, maybe 20. It was amazing to see that, but they're getting ready to go out and do the thing they do. And there's a lot of that going to be going on for some time to come.
And I feel for people, Giant Eagle, Bill Artman, the president and CEO, announced a very generous gesture of 15% off yesterday, and then Coons Market also.
And you say you were at Coons on Sunday.
I was at Giant Eagle Market District.
Ah, okay.
On Sunday, and the lines.
The one in Pine.
By the time I got there in the afternoon, it was around 5 o'clock. I figured, well, this will die down. Because earlier in the day, the lines, as people were taking advantage, 15% off might not, on the surface, sound like a lot. But if you're replenishing what you lost in your refrigerator, it's significant.
Yeah, if you're replacing $200, $300 worth of groceries, that's a significant amount of savings. Yeah, I agree.
So 5 o'clock, when I got to the produce section, there were no bananas left, of all things.
Wow.
I didn't know bananas were that popular. And then some of the brands, I mean, there were, people were taking advantage of the opportunity, too. For instance, items that you, say you use paper towels or toilet paper, things like that. Well, why not get a few extra if you're getting 15% off? And when you walked into the store, they handed you a coupon. Elaine, wonderful woman that works at my Giant Eagle, Larry, here's your coupon. You'll need this. And so I went through the self-checkout. So you go through everything, and it asks for the coupon, and boom, 15% off. There is one caveat to that, and that is for the people who don't have their power yet, they can't restock their refrigerator yet. So we'll see if once everybody's back online, if there's a remedy for them too.
Hmm.
But a nice gesture nonetheless. Aaron, did you have to throw any food stuff? Because you were out for a couple of days.
We did have to throw away some meat in the freezer. Our fridge wasn't too packed, but we took advantage of what Giant Eagle offered. It was packed, if you can imagine.
Yeah, and I understand Shop and Save also helped out with the same offer. So it saved people a lot of money. I mean, it was a very nice gesture.
I wish we had known. We would have put that word out as well on Friday when we were reporting the news on Coons and Giant Eagle. I went to Giant Eagle in Seven Fields on Saturday. Had to get some things, couldn't wait. And
isn't it
just as busy as it always is? So I can only imagine what it was like on Sunday.
Isn't it just another one of those moments where you realize, oh, wow, it wasn't technically a tornado, but we had one of those small disasters here, and you don't realize maybe the big scale until you see the grocery store is packed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with those straight line winds in excess of 90 to 95 miles an hour in some cases, particularly in those areas where Duquesne Light's still trying to restore power, just so many complicated issues to overcome. Yeah, so it was been a long week for a lot of people. And again, today, Marty Griffin, 10 till 2 at Oakmont Bakery.
Speaking of busy.
Giving up coffee and donuts.
I'm out in Oakmont about every other week and have been for several years. And I got to tell you, I have never been by there. And this is after, well, after the lunch hour. I'll be driving, like leaving again Oakmont around 2:15.
Where it's not busy.
Honestly, it's the parking lots, the ancillary parking lot down the street from Oakmont is full. It's amazing.
Wait a month till the U.S. Open's in town.
Wow.
That's
I mean, again, you know, getting around in Oakmont is, you know, quite a process in and of itself. I mean, getting back onto Halton Road from right. Allegheny River Boulevard, that is a real trick.
But the town itself is really like a Norman Rockwell
painting. It's beautiful. It's just a really nice place to go.
People are nice. Yeah. I like when people are nice. I don't know. Maybe it's me. It's time for the Big K Morning Show. We check in with Brian Caranta, brought to you by Secure Money Advisors. Brian, hope you had a good weekend. Good morning.
Yes, great weekend, Larry. Good morning to you also.
I love this because it's usually I give you a pop quiz. It's the financial tip of the week, and I want to know about the rule of 72.
Yeah, that great question. A simple but powerful formula that can help predict how your money will grow. That's what the rule of 72 is all about. Let me take some time and explain this here, and I'll give you a little bit of history behind it. I think we'll give the listeners a little bit of a history lesson on some math here. But the rule of 72, believe it or not, was developed by a mathematician by the name of Luca Pacioli back in the late 1400s. And this rule, it helps us determine the number of years it will take to double an investment. So you simply divide 72 by the annual interest rate of your investment. So for example, if you had an 8% interest rate, you divide 72 by 8, which equals 9. So it will take about 9 years to double your investments.
Ah, believe it or not, I learned math on an abacus and I think I get it. So
yeah.
That's a great way to look at it. So give us another practical example.
Let's say, so let's take it even further. So let's say your initial investment was $1,000, right? So at an 8% interest rate, according to the rule of 72, takes 9 years to double that money to $2,000. So if you continue to get 8% in another 9 years, it would double again to $4,000. And again, this is a simple yet effective way to see how your money can grow over time.
So it's not just for investments, but it can also apply to inflation.
Oh, good one, Larry. That's exactly right. It absolutely can apply to inflation. So you can work it the other way, too. So the rule of 72 can also show how long it will take for the value of your money to be have due to inflation. So a more simple way of saying that is, how long is it going to take me to lose my purchasing power or half my purchasing power? So for example, if the inflation rate is 4%, dividing 72 by 4 gives us 18. This means in 18 years, your money's purchasing power is going to be cut in half.
Ouch.
Now, yeah, ouch is right. And this is why planning is so important, because what we're really talking about here is your money purchasing power eroding over time, a little bit over time. You know, in this case, 4% inflation rate, every year that the purchasing power is going to erode a little bit. And we can still look, I mean, even though they're saying the inflation numbers are coming down, the overall inflation, you know, is still, you know, people are still feeling the impact at the grocery stores, the gas stations, and everywhere they go when they buy things. So, but these are insightful little rules that you can use to kind of just help gain some clarity around what you're doing.
So let me get this straight. So you have the rule of 72 that figures out when you're doubling your money, but then you can utilize that to figure out with the inflation rate so that there's a net result, which is what you really need to look at, which is why you got to sit down with you to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've got very powerful spreadsheets that we use to help people go through this planning process. And it is a great tool for planning. And by understanding how quickly your investments can grow or how inflation can erode your savings, you can make a more informed decision about retirement planning. So if anyone out there would like Secure Money Advisors to check the performance of their investments or to help them see if they are on the right track, if they're going to have enough money to retire or if they're going to be able to stay retired, that's the other big thing, Larry, is, you know, retiring is pretty easy. You know, you set the date and you retire. The bigger heavy lifting that needs to be done is how long are you going to be able to stay retired if you need to take money out of the investments that you've accumulated while you're working.
Great information as always. The rule of 72, righttrackpittsburgh.com. You can click there and schedule up a meeting with Brian. Love this stuff, Brian. Here we go.
Yes, here we go. I'll see you again next week, Larry. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.
Persky and White News Desk. Over 21,000 Duquesne-like customers without service.
I am frustrated with a number of things. One of those is speed of restoration.
Yeah, a lot of people frustrated. And if you're someone who doesn't have your power, this has never happened to so many people in the area. So.
And that is Mandy Steele, by the way, the state representative from Allegheny County, talking about holding the power companies accountable at a hearing she wants to schedule in Harrisburg.
What a great name, by the way, for a elected official in Pittsburgh, Mandy Steele.
Today is the last real ID day that PennDOT is hosting before Wednesday's deadline, so you can get one today at the Bridgeville and Beaver Falls driver's license centers. They're not normally open on Mondays, Larry, but they will be today until 4:15.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those weeks. Now, I have a couple of friends that are flying this week, and our own Andy Lindbergh, our digital director, is going to be flying. He's going to check in with us later this week because Wednesday, TSA said, hey, give yourself now 3 hours minimum. And I know some people that are flying on that day coming back from New York, and I'm trying to tell them, get there early.
Whew, man, I'm telling you, I don't know what to expect, but I hope what we're talking about winds up being an underwhelming deal, that people are well prepared. I really do hope that.
Amen, and I agree with you.
Yeah. 23,000 runners in all participating in Sunday's marathon, the relay, the half marathon, all put together. 23,000. And the winners of the 26-mile event were, I mean, these people are beyond my understanding. I don't know how they come up with the stamina and the patience and the determination to run like this.
You mean Mulgeta Burhana Furhesi?
That's the men's winner.
And then Jane Berrigis. I hope I'm close.
Tune in tomorrow when Larry will mangle someone else's name.
It's the Mangle Monday. Yeah, but to all the participants, all 47,000.
Those are the number of people that registered, right?
Yes. Yeah. A record number of participants.
And that would include like Saturday events, right?
Yeah, they had so many great people come from all over the world. And fortunately, weather for the actual race kind of held out. It was cool. It started to get a little muggy later, but they missed the heavy, heavy rains during the biggest part.
Did you watch the Kentucky Derby, by the way?
I did. Speaking of rains, it was a super muddy track.
It was very.
One of the favorites, Sovereignty, won the Kentucky Derby.
I looked up the race records, and only six of the horses that ran on Saturday in the Kentucky Derby had run in conditions like we saw on Saturday out there in Louisville. And I thought, well, you know, let's look at these horses. The longer I looked, the less determined I was about picking any one of them. I eventually wound up picking one horse, and I bet the horse across the board for like $10. And the horse didn't finish in the top three. So
I think.
What was the name of that? Coal something.
Sovereignty was 5-1 favorite going in. So it came from behind to win.
And a beautiful horse, too, by the way. Really beautiful.
And here's a little note for you horse people, even if you're not a horse person. Every horse in the Kentucky Derby this year.
I love this story.
Is a descendant from the greatest of all time, Secretariat.
That
every single horse.
Secretariat won the last leg of the Triple Crown by 31 lengths, I think it was. Or was that the Kentucky Derby and then the Preakness, the Belmont Preakness? I wonder if it was the last race might have been 40 lengths. Anyway, the horse was incredible.
Suffice to say,
1973 was a great year in horse racing.
This Derby was juiced by Secretariat.
Wow.